Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Bob Stauffer joining you. 7:39 puck drop, Edmonton and San Jose tonight. Before we went to break, Oilers game day trivia for Pro-Am Sports, your fan cave specialists. All correct answers this month enter to win an autographed Stuart Skinner jersey from Pro-Am Sports. Visit them online at Edmonton. Or in Edmonton at St. Albert Trail. And the question was, who was the first head coach of the San Jose Sharks? He played at the University of Alberta and coached the Calgary Dinos. T-Hups. Come on, T-Hups. Come on, Tyler. Obviously, he was going to get this. He nailed it. It was George Kingston. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you always wanted. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We will tell you that guests and Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus Beef New York Steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. As we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, the River Cree Resort Casino excitement, bet on it. That's where we're going to do the Toast of the Town on Saturday night. And we welcome back to the show for Horse Racing Alberta Racing, returning May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to thehorses.com. We welcome back to the show Frank Saravalli. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm good, Bob. I got a little Sharks trivia question for you myself. Who is the only coach of the San Jose Sharks that lasted one full season and one season only?
The only San Jose Sharks coach, is that Al Sim?
Yep, Al Sims, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we were actually talking about that today with the Sharks guys, so I got lucky on that one. Now, was he?
Did you have your Sharks radio compadre there?
No, didn't have him on the show. Didn't have him on the show. But no, we've got, who's that? Because you know I filled in for San Jose back in 2001 when Dan Rizinowski got in a car accident. So no,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I actually, before I ever did a game for the Edmonton Oilers, I'd already done a game for the San Jose Sharks. I'd never been to San Jose. I did a San Jose Colorado game in Denver during the 2000-2001 season.
Wow.
We just had Mac T on, and we talked a bit about, you know, the decade of darkness in Edmonton, but. You know, the Oilers never had a year in which they only won 22 games like last season with San Jose, or 19 this year with a minus 139 goal differential. Give me your assessment on what San Jose is going through here the last couple of years.
They're just now, this is the scariest part, is they've still got some digging to do to get to the bottom. I know that sounds scary to say. This is going to be their fifth consecutive season missing the playoffs. And do you know what their average finish in the NHL is over these last five seasons?
29th.
28th. Very close. And there's still work to do. They've still got other contracts to move. The Tomas Hertl deal at the deadline was sort of the first real meaningful step in getting there. And the tough part about that Hertl deal is I think they could have waited until the summer to get more.
Me too.
So
I didn't understand.
They don't. It's not even the return. It's also the fact that you've chewed up and tied up some of your cap retention spaces.
Yep.
Now for the next 6 years. They've got another full season to go before they get any relief on that front. And, you know, they've got Will Smith coming and, you know, maybe Shakir Mukhamudulin. Their pipeline doesn't have much in it. And maybe they'll get some luck from that Erik Karlsson trade, and maybe Pittsburgh not only misses the playoffs next year if they don't get the pick this year, but they've got a lot of work to do. I'm telling you right now, this is going to sound bananas to say, I don't think the San Jose Sharks make the playoffs one time this decade.
Wow. Slacking for Macklin. So they're locked in at dead last. They have the best lottery odds. How far can they fall again, Frank?
Who's that? The Sharks?
Yes.
So they've got a 25% chance to pick first, and they've got a 75% chance to pick fourth.
A 75% chance to draft. In the top four? Or to...
To fall to fourth.
Really? So the second and third's not an option for them?
Well, no, it is. You'd have to, I mean, the odds would get reconfigured after the first pick, so it's impossible to say. But still, I think it's 56% to be fourth, and then 25, and then whatever the remaining amount would be in second or third. Yeah. So it's still not pretty, but they've got the best position, A1 prime position you could have.
They do have a player in Colin Graf that lots of teams were in on, I guess, he was completely up front today. He did Zoom calls with five different clubs. Edmonton was not one of them. The Oilers expressed some interest. He chose San Jose, which many would say he chose a place where he knew he could play. Your thoughts?
I think that's a fair way to frame it. I mean, you take the opportunity that's right in front of you. There's no one guarantees you a spot in the NHL beyond this year. So if that's what you wanted, go ahead and take it and make your NHL debut. Never going to fault anyone for that. It's the childhood dream of so many thousands of young hockey players. Not that many get the opportunity. So the perspective is healthy. To me, I think he's one of those guys that I think if he's not scoring, it's going to be a big question of what's he doing to help you. And that's why I thought Jacob Quillen going to Toronto was a more interesting selection out of Quinnipiac, because he's a guy that I think could find a way to carve out a bottom six role in the NHL, which is, if you're looking at undrafted college free agents, that's probably some of the best that you could hope for, is trying to find a bottom six guy that you could rely on. The other thing, too, and you and I have talked about this, is I think teams should spend a little bit more time looking through the U Sports ranks and trying to figure out if there's anyone there worth going after. That, you know, it's oversaturated, the number of people and teams that are scouting undrafted free agents. Ken Holland saw Quinnipiac play in person. I believe Keith Gretzky made multiple trips to see Quinnipiac this season, all the way out to Hartford. It's a grind, and not saying it's not worth it. It's just that you've got to look for the next leverage point, the next opportunity cost, and the next spot that you can find new ground, and maybe that's one area.
We're joined by Frank Saravalli for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta. Again, live racing returns to Century Mile on May the 4th. So here we go, Frank. I mean, really, we're watching, and I'm watching Montreal-Detroit as we speak. It's 2-1 for the Canadians in Detroit late in the first period. Washington somehow is in the driver's seat. It has been a crazy year for them. But this show is called Oilers Now, so let's get you to focus on the Edmonton Oilers here. Connor McDavid back in the lineup tonight. Not surprisingly, the Oilers not quite the same team without McDavid and without Mac D, who's still here in the booth with us, but without Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I would say not really breaking news there. Look, all things considered, I think when you see what life without McDavid is like, obviously you want to run back to the former version, but I thought they actually, you know, comported themselves pretty well. Picked up the slack, obviously, at times. And, you know, for him to get back and then now have that little period of rest to heal up, I think it's important to maybe get a couple games and get back into that rhythm again before you get to the playoffs. And also, I don't think you can discount the idea that there is additional energy that's brought to the team from that chase for 100 assists. It might happen in the first 5 minutes. It might take a full game or two, but the fact that that's something that's in his sights, you better believe that everyone in that dressing room is paying attention.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a given. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are in action tonight. And I haven't checked the scoreboard early to see if anything's transpired that, because Nikita Kucherov is at 98 points, or 98 assists as well. Frank, obviously,
The Lightning have not scored yet to this point.
All right. Well, there you go. That's part of the reason why we have you on. Does Edmonton's performance over the last week without McDavid change or alter how you see the Oilers heading into the playoffs?
Not for me. I think it's foolish to try and make determinations or judgments on teams in any sort of small window of time. Try and lean towards longer sample size, which is why, you know, you don't get too out of whack or make any drastic decisions based on this little swoon that we're seeing from the Colorado Avalanche, or yep. Hey, what's up with the Vegas Golden Knights? Their season has been maybe the biggest roller coaster of, you know, of all this year. And then what about, you know, a team like the Winnipeg Jets, who have suddenly passed the Colorado Avalanche and have a shot at home ice? I think most people to this point 10 days ago had sort of written off the Jets' chances, saying, hey, this is a team that you got to go through a juggernaut in Colorado at altitude with an incredible home ice record this year on the road. And then if you beat them, your treat is getting the likely Western Conference number one seed this year and the Dallas Stars in the second round. I don't know that you want to write off the Jets just yet. Like, be careful making or passing judgment about teams over short periods of time.
All right, I got to ask you this because you had a chance to talk to him. Kent Hughes in Montreal, what's the mindset there?
Continue to build brick by brick, stacking 3%, 5% wins on top of each other until they add up to something really measurable. They're methodical, they're smart, they are consistent in their approach, and they're a team that I think has a really bright future. And if you look at the way their cap table sets up, if you look at the prospects that they've got in their arsenal, I really liked their forward group before they had some injuries that set in this year, four periods of Kirby Dach.
Yep.
Alex Newhook has set career highs, only playing 50 games. And they've got Juraj Slafkovský, who is sort of the Eastern Conference version of Quentin Byfield, if not, you know, maybe a higher ceiling. So then you stack all of that up, and then you add in David Reinbacher and Lane Hudson, and they've got 9 to 10 defensemen in their pipeline. They're going to have to make decisions there. They're going to be a big team this summer to watch because they're not going to be able to keep all of them. And in net, they're kind of set right now with Sam Montembeau and Caden Primo for the foreseeable future. So I really like what they're putting together, and I just think they've done it in a really smart way. And maybe the most amazing part of all of it in Montreal is that, you know, you've been there. You know what that market's like. It's maybe the most energetic and frenetic hockey market in the league. And they've convinced somehow that market to be patient. And that's really been incredible to watch.
5:48 in Edmonton. Final question for Frank Saravalli for the Horses. Horse Race in Alberta. You broke the story involving Salt Lake, the two schedules. What are you hearing regarding the players that are involved? Are there some players that thought they were committing long-term in Arizona? Will there be any challenges getting some of those guys to commit to going into Salt Lake? Or could you see some movement in the offseason involving some of the Coyotes players?
I'd be surprised. That's not how this works typically. Now, I think you should always reserve the right for a player to raise his hand and say that he wants out. But there's no going back to Arizona, so it means you're going somewhere else anyway. And honestly, I don't understand the angst or even some of the reporting that I've seen on social media. It makes no sense. I'll tell you this. I talked to a couple of current Coyotes players over the last few days, one of them who said this: do you think any of us are upset to leave Arizona? We've got the worst plane, the worst hotels, the cheapest everything. Our staff budget is scrunched. At every point, they're trying to cut corners. We'd all like to see what it's like to actually play in the NHL. And that's what a lot of them are focused on. So I expect Ryan Smith to come in and set the record straight before they even make it to the offseason, that the expectation and plan is for him to meet with everyone and give them his pitch before they go their separate ways for the offseason. And I'd imagine Ryan Smith will be quite impressive.
Great stuff, Frank. Thanks for joining us in Oilers Now.
Have a good one, Bob.
You bet. That's Frank Saravalli for the Horses in Horse Racing Alberta. We go to the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, proud supporters of the University of Alberta, along with the Edmonton Oilers and the Edmonton Elks. Of course, Trent played multiple seasons for the Edmonton Eskimos, was a two-time CFL All-Star and a 93 Grey Cup winner. San Jose have got a ton of guys out. Vitek Vanacek, goaltender, will be back to 100% next year. He's out, lower body injury. Barabanov, lower body injury. Logan Couture hasn't played a game. He was shut down due to groin problems. Zadina, that's the guy Tyler Wright took over. Quinn Hughes. Philip Zadina out, lower body injury. Matt Benning, former Oiler, out with a lower body injury. Mike Hoffman not available as well. The Oilers, with Connor McDavid's return to the lineup, are completely healthy. A reminder, you can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, and we entered you into the Text of the Week draw, where winners receive 3 months of washes at my favorite car wash, Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street. When we come back, NHL today, it's a crappy day. In fact, Mac T played in this game, and I watched it at the Sawmill in the city's south side. Brendan Escott will have you with that when we return on Oilers Now. We go to Listing Oilers History for New West Travel. Again, you can explore Southeast Asia, a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
1989, the Kings defeat the Oilers 6-3 at the Forum in Los Angeles to eliminate Edmonton from the playoffs in seven games. Wayne Gretzky with two goals and an assist for the Kings. They advanced to the division finals and played Calgary.
And the Oilers never lost again to LA again in the playoffs. They beat them in 90, 91, and 92, and of course the last 2 years in the playoffs as well. Are they going to play them again? I guess time will tell in that regard. Tomorrow, for our friends at Wow Factor Desserts, former NHL general manager, the man that started Octagon's player agency, Brian Lawton, for Montorio Homes, we will have Rob Brown on from the Oilers Radio Network. Our farm report will take place tomorrow with Bakersfield Condors head coach Colin Chalk for Wave Bathroom Renovations. Professional bathroom renovations built right. Hire Wave Bathroom Renovations and know your bathroom will turn out great. We got a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, then the City Ford Face-Off Show with Reed Wilkins. I will join you at 6:35. So long until then.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.